Welcome, guys. Welcome, everybody. We're going to start. I think there might be a few that are coming in that I talked to. I'm Brian, this is my wife, Kim. But we are going to go around, and I'm going to have you do something real quickly so we can keep things moving. But our heart, really, for all of you, you're here checking out what we put on the overhead up there about discipleship-making movements inside a house church or a microchurch. So more than just getting information or ideas or having a place for you to ask questions, get answers, which this is, our heart is that something is birthed in you and it's stirred into being activated. That's really our heart.
Yes.
And we want to press into that with you during this time and in the next hour from three to four, we're going to stay here. And any of you that would like to stay because you just are sensing God is doing something new and what we're going to discuss here today, we want to just come alongside you and pray with you for those very things. And if you don't know what it is, but you want prayer for it, that's what we're here for. We want to take some time to minister to each of you. So with that, should we do that or not?
Yeah.
I just want to take like...
How many are from a house church actually in an actual house church right now?
Okay. Right. How many of you desire to be in a house church? Okay. How many of you just don't know what it is and are here because you want to know more about what it is?
We had candy. Oh
my God.
So, Kim and I lead the House Church Network along with Joel and Amy Johnston. You saw their beautiful picture up on the screen this morning. They give leadership to the network also. And so, what in praying for this, we really felt it would be great to start with a few stories of leaders from our network that would maybe give you an idea of what the house church looks like, but especially them, these three that we've asked to share, are seeing, they're pressing into or they're looking to see what God is doing around them, and then they're doing what God is doing.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do something new, they're already doing what the Father, they're just doing along with what he's doing.
So one of the things a lot of times people come to and say, hey, we want to start a house church. So our first question is, do you want just a change of location? Like Sunday morning format, now doing it in my living room? Or do you actually want a house church movement, a disciple-making movement? There's a little bit of difference. There was a house church movement that was probably 20 years ago or so that was definitely more just we met in our houses, but it looked like a church. And a pastor preached, and so most of us that are in this house church network, it is very much a movement, a disciple-making movement, and what Brian said, like we were talking at lunch, right? Like, what is God doing? How do I partner with him to fulfill the Great Commission, right?
And so what I want you to hear as they share their stories real briefly is they've changed from this thing of, we started out to have a house church and gather at home to now we're discipling people and it's becoming a house church.
Right.
Okay. I think you're going to pick that up as you hear their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to add anything before we get started?
Yeah, just some distinctions too, because with house church, one of the key differences is it's engaging. So whereas, you know, and you may have somebody give a teaching, but there's still questions and answers. So that's one distinction. Between house church and community church. The other is that growth happens by sending. And that happens in some community churches, which is great. But our goal is not to gather because we're limited in size. Mm-hmm. It's really to multiply and send and allow them to do the same. So as you hear these stories, you're going to hear that, like Brian's saying, it starts with discipleship, and out of that may grow into churches or something more. But it's all with that kind of vision of involved and multiplying, sending.
Yeah,
good. So for one, even what Brian was saying, what we want really people to catch is whether or not you sense, you know, I want to go out and start a house church. That doesn't matter nearly as much as what we really want people to catch is what discipleship your everyday life could look like. Because that's really, and that's, again, what they said, you're going to hear the stories, but that's really what we want to encourage. And
I think it was Ralph Moore, who is a father of discipleship movement, I guess you can call him that, and he wrote a book on, I forget what it's called, something discipleship, and he said that if you plant a church, you rarely have disciples. But if you make disciples, you will always have a church.
Yeah.
Right? Because Jesus told us to go make
disciples.
Right. A And so we kind of get that reverse of that, and we try to do a church and then fill it.
Yeah.
Rather than, hey, who am I meeting at the barbershop? Who am I meeting? We just met a girl, sold us furniture, and she doesn't have a church. We're like, hey, would you like to start one with us? She's like, we can do that? Like, absolutely, let's start meeting for coffee. Right? So it's always about making disciples, going out, so.
Yep, so with that whole, each of our
esteemed colleagues.
Those who share, are ready to share, and if we try to stay 5 to 10 at the max, that would be great, so we have some time afterward. So why don't we start, Sean Chop, and we'll just work this way then. Unless you don't want to go first.
I told you.
I can start with Jazz. She's ready. So just tell us your names and where you're from, and then go into your story.
Yeah, so my name is Sean. This is my wife, Chapa. We've been missionaries in Austria. We've served under an international church ministry, a large church, like one of those mega church ideas, concepts. Did that for about 17 years, and then we felt the calling to move into a different direction, new season, new chapter in our lives. We didn't know exactly what that meant when we left, but we had our final Sunday to say farewell and say goodbye to everybody. We didn't know exactly what the next step was, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning that same Sunday night. The Lord began to drop some phrases, some ideas, some concepts in our hearts, and some of those concepts were simple church, church without walls, that were reaching out, that were making an impact, that it's about discipleship. And one of the phrases that we were just reviewing recently was the fact that the phrase that says, relationships trumps structure. Mm-hmm. And we come from a very structured church, mm-hmm. and we understood that relationships were the most important key to discipleship.
Yeah.
And when you have a relationship with somebody, you can disciple them, you can impact their lives, you can invest in their lives, you can speak into their lives, where it's something that begins a transformational work. The thing about discipleship is it's a process. Right? It's not about a convert, it's not about a number. Yeah. And that's a mindset shift that happens in the discipleship-making movement, where you have to understand there's a process, there's a time period from sowing seeds to the time where you see that fruit.
Yeah.
And so we started a house church, but in hindsight, it's like God's like reversing our mentality. We were trying to gather people, but he's bringing us back to what he initially spoke to us, that relationship trumps structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's been beginning to connect us with people that we've built a relationship with. And one of the things that has been instrumental is the chaplain felt the calling to bring people together for a ladies' brunch. Simple concept, simple idea, but we had underestimated the power of that. Sitting around the table, getting to know people, having a fellowship event, like you might have an event, but what happened after the event is what really where the dynamic began to shift and change. Because it's about life-giving relationships, it's about building relationships, and about connecting with people. And when you do that, there's things that come up, and there's topics of discussion that come up. And she started investing, speaking into the situation where they were right in that moment.
Yes.
And it's about meeting people where they are. It's not about pushing an agenda, pushing a message,
mm-hmm.
but it's about connecting where they are, because then they're going to receive whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to receive the impartation that you have, because the Spirit of God that's within you as you're following Christ.
Yes.
So our desire has always been that we are disciple makers who make disciples.
So just connecting with what he said, I think for us as a disciple-making movement, the concept of table has great meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometime back, the Lord gave me a dream, and that dream was I saw this very sturdy wooden table, and there were few of us sitting around it, and when I looked to my right, this table started to extend, and more people started to come around the table. So lo and behold, these brunches that I have been organizing with Sean for women, these have been a significant thing, because we see long after the event, so to say, has happened, those who are staying around the table, those are the discussions where all the discipleship happens.
Yes. because it's not like, okay, I'm part of this, I'm part of that, but now you have the ability to just be authentic.
Yes.
And so this is where discipleship happens. I mean, I have not been a Christian all my life. I was born a Buddhist, became an atheist, and the Lord found me. And so I know what discipleship did for my life, because my pastor's wife took me under her wings. And she, I mean, of course I did some discipleship courses, but she was doing life with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She would take me to, you know, she would be cooking in her kitchen. She was talking to me,
yeah.
and she was just telling me about life.
Yeah.
And that's how I was discipled. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely in my DNA to sort of impart that same thing, because that's how I was discipled.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a non-threatening, you can ask questions, and people grow that way, right? So we are in this season of like definitely finding out this table concept and having women around, and yeah, it's become a Bible study, and you know, we don't know exactly what God is going to do, but I think something important for us to understand is that we are not afraid to take a step when the Lord shows you a little bit of that step. That's something that we have always done. We take the step that He shows us. So not being afraid to flow with the Spirit is something that we are learning in this season.
Yeah.
So one of the other things we did, we celebrate the American Thanksgiving holiday in Austria, but we make it an outreach, and so we invite our neighbors and friends over, and it's a way that we can touch the community and reach out to them by inviting them into our home. Again, that concept of sitting around the table, and some pretty profound conversations happen around the table.
And good food.
Yeah,
it's
good.
That always helps.
Yeah, right.
So we did that 2 years ago, and then we did it this year, and then one of the ladies, one of our neighbors, unsaved, said, well, she's already planning for the next year. What can I bring? She's already thinking ahead. But also what happened was she opened up her heart and she shared about her grandson that has a heart condition. And I found out later, just by walking by the street, saw the guy out, his name's Salton, standing out on the front porch, and we got into this conversation, and I asked further questions about this grandson. He only has a half a heart, and he was born that way, and he's only 3.5 years old. He's been in and out of surgeries, and so he was called into surgery again, like this past weekend. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And so just planting those seeds about building relationships, about connecting with people where they are, and it's, you know, I believe that someday he will come to Christ. But that's not necessarily the goal right now. The goal right now is to plant those seeds and see what God's going to do. And when you change that mindset about from bringing in converts, trying to get people saved, to planting seeds and letting God do the watering and seeing where God's working and moving. We had another neighbor we invited this year to the Thanksgiving. He came and we shared about having a heart of gratitude. And he was struck by it. He was blessed by the word of encouragement. He said, I'm going to take that and use that with my colleagues. But he's not even saved. He's far from the Lord. But he was in our home. And it sowed a seed. And that's what it's about. It's about us being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's about us doing our responsibility. And the people that you bring into your home, in your house group, it's about empowering them, releasing them, helping them to catch the heart of the Father, which is to seek and save the lost.
Yeah,
that's good. And that's what they're about.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys. I think you hear in their hearts, they pastor a house church, but in the process of doing it, they're like, we're missing a piece of this. And that's the outward piece.
Yeah.
Being outward, loving on others, discipling others. And we were the same way in a house church where we became ingrown. Because we were missing that piece. And that's what started this whole shift for us to say, hold it. Discipleship is what keeps house church healthy. Those who are attending house church, we must be discipling. And in that discipleship, multiplication happens. Because people are coming to Christ.
Christ. People are getting healed and restored to the Father.
Great. And I think, like, if you heard in the beginning when they first transitioned, like, yeah, we wanted a house church, it was, we're trying to have this church in the house and preach 45 minutes, and nobody wants to listen. And so it was like, wait a minute. So when we say change of location, that's what typically happens. We're just trying. And so it was a process. And I think, and there was like, I don't want to say deliverance, but there was like this mindset that, wait a minute, I'm going to go out and make disciples. And then you started realizing, hey, this men's group, that's discipleship as we're hiking. This women's group, this is discipleship. And so we begin to see the church in a different lens. It's not about the gathering, it's about the going.
Lisa.
So yes, we have a little bit different story, but that's what I love about, okay, I'm just going to use the term house church because that's what we're talking about, but labels can often box us in, so I encourage us not to label. Because if you label it, then you tend to limit it.
Yeah.
And God works outside limits. So when we were very involved with the community church for 14 years, very involved, and we've been in the house church movement now for almost 2 years. Which is kind of crazy to think about. But prior to that 2 year mark, for about a year before that, we really felt God stirring in our hearts that we're missing something here. He started to break our hearts for those who were not willing to walk into a community church that desperately needed Jesus. It just was not a comfortable place for them. It's not, we have kids like that, adult children who, yeah. One would be fine, the other's like, yeah, I don't want to go there. And so we were just exploring, and asking. And we were in a small group at that church that we read Francis Chan's book called Letters to the Church, which we do agree with some things in there. but it sparked us, and I think that's the beauty of investigating. It sparked our thinking and our hearts for what is God really asking from us as a couple. And so where we landed was at their house. Literally.
Yeah.
So this is how good God is. So somehow Kim and I were friends on Facebook, and I think I know how, but it was through a mutual friend, but I had never met her before. And one day she just, that summer, she posted on Facebook, would anybody like to come to our home and hear about this church? And we're like, let's see.
It's our same story.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Oh, I love Jen. And so we're like, I was like, hey, we would love to. So we went that day and heard their hearts and where they were at and what house church really was about. And we just fell in love with that idea. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, we knew that this is where we needed to be. And we did leave our community church on very good terms, on good notes. In fact, they commissioned us out, which I highly recommend whenever you do that. Like, do it healthy, not out of a reaction, but out of a calling to where God is asking you to be
healthy.
And so we were like, great, here we go, house church. I don't know what that means. We had been meeting that entire summer with another couple every Friday night from our previous church, and we were like, hey, this is what we're doing. Do you guys want to do it with us? And they're like, yeah, no, we don't feel that. I'm like, okay, great. So now I have no one. But we did it because it just cleared the path. And so in August of 23, which is when we, a little bit before that, we had met Brian and Kim, and we had gone on a missions trip to Guatemala, and we met these four beautiful young women that we just fell in love with. They were so much fun. And by young, I mean, you know, 20, 21, 19. And we were like, wow, okay. So after we got back, they were just on my heart, on my heart, on my heart. And so you got to listen. And finally, my husband's like, just stop talking about it and text them. And I was like, okay, I don't think you're going to want to come to our house for anything. I texted them. And within 30 minutes, all four of them replied, we have been wanting something like this. We were wanting something, looking for something. We're so glad you asked. Mm-hmm. And what I had asked them was, are you interested in just getting together, looking at the Word of God, being discipled? Are you interested in that? And they jumped at it. Mm-hmm. And so we have been meeting every Monday night with them for almost 2 years. And it has been tremendous. So we have had other young people in and out as well, but they have been the core this whole time. One is getting married this Sunday. Another, and we did their premarital counseling, which was a blast. We have another one getting married in August, and we're doing their premarital counseling. Another one of them actually isn't with us. She's actually serving in Albania. She went through Ravencrest, which is out west, and similar to YWAM kind of thing. And so that's neat to watch her go and serve. And we have the other one. She is going to YWAM Lancaster, which is where we're from, in the fall. So it's so cool to see how they're moving. And several of them are like, yeah, we want to have a small group with, you know, they're getting married, so that shifts things. But the one that's going to YWAM, she already told us, yeah, I want a house church. So we've been doing that, and we see that. We sit around our table. I cook for them, so they love that, you know.
We love it.
And I will tell you, sometimes they come early, and they're just talking while we're getting dinner ready and things like that. And most of the time it is young women, and so I have a very sensitive husband who knows when it's time to leave the room. Or it's just too embarrassing anymore.
They talk about it anyway.
Yeah, they do. They're like, Tom, just so you know. But it's very cool to see the deep, like, it's a long, what has been built is a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot imagine, nor can they ever imagine, us not being in one another's lives,
yeah.
No matter where we are. Which makes me tear up, but anyhow,
yeah.
You know, it's having more kids. But this is how God works.
Yeah.
And the whole way we got connected was, we really just asked, where are you working around us? God was working in these four young girls.
Yeah.
And so we stepped into that, into where he was already working and became part of that process.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, in the midst of all that, my husband, we also, I'm the director at the prayer room, City Gate Prayer Room in Lititz, which, and what happened is Tom really felt we needed to be there on a Sunday morning. It's like, great, one more thing in my schedule. I have an attitude problem, apparently. No, but we started in November of 23. And we went every Sunday morning. It's open to the public, this prayer room. It's right in downtown Lititz where we live. And we just, every Sunday we were there, 2 months, nobody walked in the door. Why do I tell you this? Because patience is key.
Yes.
Like, don't force it.
Yeah.
Be patient and ask and then watch.
Yeah.
We're taught in scripture to watch and pray, pray and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. And then January of 24, we had, actually my aunt and uncle started coming. Mom and us, and they brought their two grandchildren with them, who are 8 and 10. And then one of our Monday night girls brought her boyfriend, who was a new believer. And now he's bringing his buddy, who is, let's just say he has seeds. Put it that way. We don't know where he is yet. But we simply sit around the table. I don't feed these people, although they're snacks. But we just open the Word of God. We study the Word of God together, that it's a safe place to ask questions, because I find it very exciting to have new believers or people questioning, because, wow, doesn't that strengthen your faith? It just strengthens you as a believer, and so that has a very different feel than our Monday night does. The kids are involved. I know we do kids differently than you guys, but we just have two kids. They're involved, they help with the scriptures, they have their own, they answer questions with us, they are involved. They are involved, because why wouldn't they be? The same spirit that lives in us lives in them, so God can use them too. And so that's kind of where we came from and where we are, and I think the biggest, I'm kind of with Sean and Chop, like one of the breakdowns you have to have is the notion of what a successful church looks like.
Right.
What does success mean to me as a believer? Do I put a number on that? What is important? And I love that it is the relationship.
Yes.
And the word when you were talking that just kept coming to me was the word invest.
Yeah.
And so if we talk a good game about investing in people, right? But if we would invest our money in the very little way that we invest in people, we would probably not see a good return on that money, right? So, but think how we invest money, or we invest the things that are super valuable to us. We're protective of it, we pay attention to it, we're interacting with it. It's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we've seen, is just that is what people want. Invest in who God places right in front of you, because that is the most important person right there. I don't know if you have anything to add. I'm sorry, I had to talk a lot. There's a lot of breakdown. I love that it's a discipleship making movement. It leaves the door wide open for God's word.
Yeah, and just with Tom and Lisa, they have two separate groups.
We do.
Two separate groups of discipleship that look totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, like she said, we have to. One of the things that we learned is 2 years ago, I guess, the whole House Church Network was like, we need to rethink what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to relearn what we've learned, because there's things that we've missed because we thought it went this way.
Right.
Right. And so there's been a rethinking that's happened in a lot of us, and a relearning of what it actually looks like to be disciple makers and to do what Jesus did. I forget who was it. If you want to do what Jesus did, you have to do what Jesus did. No, you have to do it. Yeah, I mean, you have to go make disciples. It's what he did. So if we want to see that, we have to do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Now a third way.
Now another story. Jess.
Hi, I'm Jessica. So I had no idea what House Church was, and I was actually sitting in Westgate. And they were getting ready to send out a House Church, and I had no idea. And I was telling one of my spiritual moms, she was sitting next to me, and I'm like, I'm telling you, there's going to be a House Church. And she's like, House Churches don't just happen. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. And I look up, and there's one of the pastors, and he's like, hey, Westgate, we're getting ready to send out a new House Church, or like, church plant, whatever. And I was like, what? And so I'm like, I have to meet these people. I had no idea what it was. I was asked to go through the leadership training school, and so it led me to the book that Larry wrote, House to House. And I don't care what book you read, when you read a book that tells you like who you are, you just go, oh. So here I am at Westgate serving like this small group that met in the Cove way before it looks all fancy now. It was like the old school Westgate. And I had nobody that went to church at Westgate came to my small group. It was all people that were outside that wouldn't come in like on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like people that have gone to rehab, people that were like, had been to prison, people, all the people, you know?
David's friends.
What'd you say?
All of David's friends?
Yeah.
All the
white
heads.
Why are they always my friends? So anyway, that was back in like, I don't know, 2007, 2008, something like that. And so while I'm leading this small group and I read House to House and I'm going through leadership training school, I handed the baton to my friend, my spiritual mom, and I was like, can you please lead this small group, because I need to go help do this house trip. Like, I need to be a part of this. It's like who I am. And I had someone speak over me. He said, you're an Acts chapter 2 girl. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Like, all these things that people said to me when I was, because I didn't get saved until I was 23, and I'm going to be 45. So I didn't know. So then I went to this house church, and it was very similar to community church in the sense that, like, there was worship, and there was a message, but something that they did was disciple. So I was like, oh, look at you, Craig. I didn't even see you back there. So anyway, they discipled me. They raised me up to be the leader that God called me to be, and they invited me on the leaders, you know, the elders team. And while I was serving on the elders team, everything that was in me to go outside of, because you can't put me in a house church. I like how you said, don't label it, right? I can't be in a house church and just be like, hey guys, this is so great. Wait, but what about what? But David's friends are over there,
yeah.
Right? So I'm like, I can't just sit in here. So I would be the one organizing outreach. So they let me take, you know, we would do game nights inside of like shelters, like the Good Samaritan shelter in Ephrata. Just did lots of outreach. So we did street evangelism. We went into City Gate. We've done like homeless outreach, feeding people, meeting with people, playing sports together. And then God just showed me like there are some people that want to come to what was called the gathering then. And I'm like, come on, come to the gathering. Come on, come to church with me. And they're like, yeah. And God kept birthing this picture, you know, the table of other people. And I'm like, you know, how would you feel if we were to meet at this other church and Terry Hill, Craig, let us use his church building to have what we would have called micro church at the time? And I asked people if they would come. And I'm like, we could just sit, we'll have a meal, we'll talk about Jesus. And so they started coming. And I'm like, this is crazy. So then we came up with all this, like we came up with a schedule that was very different. We did things like, we called it prophetic worship. I literally, God gave me all these ideas to do. We had ribbons. I would cut ribbons and I would have them all on a string. And you had to braid them, and you had to learn how to pray. And while you're braiding these three things, you're praying. And there's index cards and mirrors, and who do you see that you are? And next index card is, this is who God says you are. Just different ways to get people that don't know anything about God to know who he is and who they are in him, right? So we planted the root, which was met in Vibrant. Craig's, yeah. So we did that, and then COVID happened. I can't not do church. I don't know, I'm not gonna argue with anybody about what you choose and what you believe, but I can't not do church because we are the church. So we just moved it into our house, and it like exploded. We were meeting outside at a campfire, and all these people were like, our church shut down. Well, can we come? I'm like, okay, sure. Like, it's not gonna be like your community church. It was like this. It's like, this is too big. Cause like, I don't know all your names and I can't meet with all of you. And there's not enough leaders you don't even have to be a leader. There's not enough people that know enough about Jesus to teach you something. Mm-hmm. So like, somehow we have to do something different. So we started meeting in people's homes. Mm-hmm. This group goes over here, this group goes over here. And we started having leaders be raised up. Mm-hmm. So we would call it discipleship groups,
yeah,
right? So we had, I don't remember, I think somewhere between 40 and 50 people, and it's like, we have to plant a church. So we took some of the people, just a few, and we planted another church, and we moved over here. Because there were other people, just like in the beginning, where it's like, hey, can we meet and talk about, yes, a whole other group of people. Mm-hmm. So again, I hand the baton, and I say, can you lead the route? Because we got to go over here, because there's more people. So we planted another house church. Now that house church is the one that I'm currently leading. It's called The Garden. The Garden is full of a bunch of people that are 100% David's friends. I was sitting at I have twins that are gonna be 16 and they play baseball. And I met some people that were rough. I'm sitting watching the baseball game and there's a lot of people just talking and I just was like, I just love Jesus. Like, I'm just here. Like, I just love Jesus. And they're like, oh, it's okay. You're one of us now. I'm like, no. But long story short, relationship was about 3 months. It's like, hey, now my boys, they have alopecia. We went through a lot in our family and they lost their hair. That's trauma, right? So like, there's a lot of stuff that people noticed and they're really good baseball players. So like, it's just kind of cool to watch families that have never met them come alongside of me and say, well, who are they? And, well, why don't they have hair? And, like, we're building this relationship. And, like, why aren't you upset? Well, Jesus, like, he's got them. Like, they found Jesus in that moment. Like, they're seeing all these things happen in their own life. And they're like, this is crazy. And then I see, like, I can't make it to a baseball game, and I see these people who I'm discipling like undercover, they don't know it. They're like, hey, you're not gonna be there? We'll make sure the boys have food. Like, I know they have allergies, so tell me what they can have. And they're like, they're serving my family.
Yeah.
And the baseball season is ending and we have gone through a long, hard time. And I had not invited anybody to the garden in about a year. It was a little over a year. We had some things happen, and I just needed to take a little bit of a break from like bringing more people, or I always go out, but I have to bring them in too. So I took a break from bringing them in, and then God was like, at the end of baseball season, he said, it's time. And I'm like, but not David's friends in my house. I don't want to invite them around my little girls. I mean, they have Satan tattoos, like pictures of Satan, you know, and I'm like, God, that's too much work. So I invited them to a fall party, and they came. And you know what they said? They don't go to church, they don't follow God, all the things. But the thing that they noticed was they got in the car after they went to this fall party, and they said, and there was only like 10 of us at this fall party. Like barely anybody showed up. But they said, that's crazy. Jess's family and those people, those church people, like they were nicer to us than our own family. And so they had this conversation on their way home. And so my boys, you gotta invite them on Sunday. Like, we do church together on a Sunday night at 5. Mom, you gotta invite them. I'm like, they're not gonna come. I don't know if I really want to invite them. Mm. No, they just invite them. So I invited them, the one couple. And they, remember, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna. So I invited them. And they were like, anything you invite us to, we're coming. And I'm like, aw. And they've come every single week since then, which was, I don't remember when that was. But it was months. God is totally wrecking their hearts. Now, their son, like, didn't want anything to do with God. He's 15. My boys were able to be who they are in Christ in front of this 15-year-old boy who's super, like, introverted and doesn't want, you know, like, we openly pray. And, like, I'm not going to lead all this. Like, it's your turn, tag, you're it. Right? So, like, this kid now has prayed out loud. People. He's invited Jesus into his life. He's doing, like, wow. My boys who are six, like going to be 16 invited their friends to do like Bible plans on the Bible app. Now, I didn't ask them to do that. So like, I want to encourage you guys, whatever it is that you're doing,
right.
Your kids are going to see, mm-hmm. Their friends are going to see, your neighbors are going to see, whoever your oikos, the people that you're connected to, they're going to see it.
Right.
And it's going to multiply naturally. Like, we're at a point now, and I don't even have any leaders, and I'm like, God, I can't have any more people in my house because I can't start another church, and I can't disciple all these people, but they're all these people. So then he brings one more family. This family has been through lots of surgeries, lots of cancer, lots of things, and they have the walls up. And she says to me, I said to Brian and Kim, I don't know if I'm supposed to invite them with me or I'm supposed to go to their house. I'm not really sure what God wants me to do. So I said, do you want to get together? And she said, yeah, I'm doing an outreach. I'm going to go to Walmart and I'm going to collect some things for the vets, sweats and socks for the vets. And I'm like, sure. So I'm like, I'm just going to go meet her and talk to her. So we sat in the Walmart parking lot in her van. Not one person came and brought stuff to give to her. I don't even think that's what it was, right? Like, God just opened the door for us to sit in the back of her van and talk for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, I'm a 70-30-er. Like, I'm 70% in, but like 30% of me is like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't really trust God like that. And I said, that's fair. That's totally fair. And she's like, but there's something that's soft about your heart that makes me feel like I can let my walls down. And I was like, yeah, do you want me to tell you something scary? And she's like, what? Now, mind you, we talked for 2 hours. I didn't just throw this on her. She's like, what? And I said, you know how I've been talking to you about house church and kind of like what we do? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, well, you're going to do that, but you're going to be the leader. And she's like, yeah, I could see that. And I was like, yeah. I said, not yet. And we can talk about Jesus at your house, or you can come to my house and do house church with us, whatever you want to do. You know, I just left it open-ended because I thought maybe it would be outreach all the time. But then I got a text from her, and she said to me, oh, we had a family meeting. And we decided that we would come with you every Sunday. And I was like, okay. And I was like, she's not gonna show up. She shows up. And I'm like, okay, God, her son is on a list for a lung transplant. He plays baseball with my kids. He's got tumors in his throat, tumors in his lungs. I texted her, can we pray for Mason? And she's like, I don't know, you can ask him. So we're at church, my house. We are the church, we're at my house. It's like a group of, I don't know, 15 people. We're just sitting there. And I said, Mason, in front of everybody, I was like, can I put you on the spot? Can we pray for you? And he was like, yeah, sure. So we all came around him and people laid hands on him. There's a girl in our house church that has been spoken over that she has the gift of healing. So I was like, hey, Britt, put your hands on him. I want you to pray. So she prayed, a couple other people prayed. A couple weeks later, they come back. Here he went to Philly to go, he has to have chemo to treat all the things, right? I said, does anybody have any God moments they want to share? And she's like, the dad actually is like, well, I just want to thank God because I don't know what you guys all have been praying, but when we went, like, there's, I mean, like, it's not growing anymore.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, this kid, right? This 15 going on 16-year-old kid, right? Got invited, is receiving some healing. Is it going to be complete healing? I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not about the healing. It's about the relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
So we went, I'll wrap it up. We went to Westgate a couple weeks ago because we have to rent a space for all of us when we want to meet together. So, and you're going to be on the list because we're going to probably hit you up too, Craig. We went to Westgate because they had that gym, you know, and it was crazy. So they were all playing sports and all the things. But we went there and there's probably, I don't know, 40-some people. We met, we had a meal. I did this activity where we had to throw yarn back and forth to everybody to show, like, this is how we're connected. Mm-hmm. Like, you're my brother in Christ now. So that means when I need help, we do life together. I need a ride. My daughter, she has dance tonight. The people from my church are taking her to dance, right? Like, we help each other, we serve each other. But while we're there, the kid Mason, who is receiving healing, was standing there, and I said, come on, we're gonna open up in prayer. And a few of the people that are from The Root, the original house church that we were part of, saw me put Mason on the spot, and they were like, no, go ahead. I was like, Mason, are you good? He's like, yeah, I'm good. I said, can you open us up in prayer? This 15-year-old kid just led all 40 of us in prayer to open up what we're doing together. He's only been saved for a couple months. We have to give people the opportunity to grow. We have to raise leaders, and then we need to pass the baton. We go out, whichever way you go. You're either a starter or a maintainer. I'm a starter. You got to know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Very powerful. You've heard three different stories of house church or groups that meet that are all being people being discipled. And that is the common thread. And what I'm seeing, that was what launched Kim and I kind of into this house church movement, was the very thing of we weren't seeing people grow week to week to week to week when we get together. And that's what we wanted to press. We wanted to press into a group of people that we could meet with, that we could really be together in the Word, challenging them to grow month to month. So that a year from now, they were a totally different person in Christ. That's discipleship. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's messy. It takes time. You've heard all the stories.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, like we said earlier, looking at what God's already at work around each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It takes us to look and see what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then be obedient to that.
Yeah. So I'm going to read one of Cynthia's quotes in here. I must be willing to change my thinking and my actions if I want to see a different outcome. And so what we realized in the house church movement, discipleship making movement, we needed to make space for, right, people that didn't know Jesus, make space for them to get to know Jesus, which require us to talk differently and act differently. But a lot of times, most of us come from churchy environments, and so we just bring that churchy environment into our house. But how do I now reproduce, how do I multiply what's happening
like we have a similar story where we had, I started with discipling a couple of girls. They saw something that was happening to me. I started discipling them. The one sort of brought her husband. I said, okay, there's a guy coming, you come. So we just started naturally with pouring into people. And so we began to see, like, we began to see the scripture differently. Like, this, you know, you might not know this, but it never says to go plant a church. Right? It never says that. It says to go make disciples and teach them to obey my commands. And so we started saying, what would it look like if we looked at discipleship that way? Stop making them come to a church and just say, hey, do you want to meet for coffee? And you want to talk about Jesus? And then someone says, I just have a lot of questions. Me too. Stuff I don't get either. Let's look at it together. Let's try to figure this out together. Because we can't act like we know it all. Because we all are on this journey. And so I have some of these books, if anyone's interested. We all went through this, and it really, really helped bring language to what God was doing in our lives as we were seeing multiplication happen, as we were seeing discipleship happen outside of the four walls of a church. I mean, it happens in a church also, 100%. But there's people out there that never know Jesus, and if we say, oh, we can't disciple them until they know Jesus.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Something that just popped into my head is, like, if you're just who you are in Christ and the outflow of that, when you're with people, you're going to make disciples.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to do it.
Exactly.
So when you do that, it's almost like, well, hey, can we meet for coffee? But then more people want to meet for coffee. Like, that's discipleship groups, house churches, whatever you want to call them. They just happen naturally. You don't have to, like, plan it out.
I just want to say, I mean, for those of you who have been part of Dove for any length of time, you've heard this over and over and over, that we honor every wineskin. We honor mega church. We honor community church. And we honor house church. We're talking about house church here today.
Right.
Only because that's the wineskin that we serve in.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to be a little easier to be discipling people week to week in that wineskin. But as I meet with those who are in community churches, the message is the same.
Yeah.
You can do this in a community church.
Yeah.
You just have small groups or cell churches that you're working through to do it. It's the same thing as part of these discipleship groups or house churches.
Yeah.
It's a small group of people, and then you intentionally in that community church pour into those small group leaders so that they begin to disciple people week to week to week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Join me.
Just to, you know, even as with the speaker, with Danny, as he's been sharing, I was really thinking how, and even connecting with Lisa, what you had said. When Lisa said, you know, they walked with these girls for 2 years, they can't even imagine, like, not being in each other's lives. I was thinking how when Danny shares about, I mean, these messy things, sin that people deal with, which everybody deals with, it's really this discipleship, relational discipleship, that allows us to do what he's saying so much more naturally, so much more, because I think of the people that we've dealt with messy situations. It's not like it's a big church. We're in, I mean, we've been sitting at the table with them. We're not just gonna say, hey, now you got this messy situation, you know, you just have to move. You're like family. This is your kids. Because you've been pouring, investing into them very relationally. So you walk through, but it also allows very upfront for the people around you, you know, especially if you're in a discipleship group, they're watching, they can see it's very clearly how you're responding to these situations. It just allows for what he's talking about to happen very naturally, very powerfully.
Yeah.
Because I trust you if I'm sitting at the table with you.
Right.
I trust you.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing that even as he is sharing, you have much more of an understanding of what is going on in people's lives.
Yeah.
I know my kids really well, and when they're not doing well, they have different ways. Some of them are really, really helpful when they're not doing well. It's their way of saying, I'm trying to like cover up, but because I know them, I know something isn't right, and I can speak to that. And that's what it is with relational discipleship.
Yeah.
You know people, you know their lives. They're not just somebody sitting, you know, you know, in front of you on Sunday that you're preaching.
Yeah, they're not just coming to church.
Right, you know their lives. And so, and especially in house church, it's really difficult. And if you don't show up,
we know.
We know. We can text you right away.
It's not like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
It's tight. There's not that opportunity to just easily just fall away and nobody notice.
Right.
You're speaking into that. So just thinking how really connected to what Danny was sharing as we're talking about this relational discipleship.
Yeah.
So we only have a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
you
I
want
to just open up for any questions.
Yeah. And then we are taking the next from 3 to 4 if you have more questions and want to get into the nitty gritty.
House church,
micro
church, we can do that and spend time praying into and for any of you. So,
yeah.
But any other questions on kind of what we need? Yes.
We're part of a traditional church model. We're not Dove, we're friends of Dove,
okay.
And we're loving what's happening this weekend. So thank you for bringing us along. So yes, we can go to Stevenson with the fireplace.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Fire,
that's cool.
So.
Yeah.
But in our church model, the Lord has blessed us both to have a ministry similar. Didn't ask for it. There's a prison ministry that developed from one guy who came to a prayer group and then on and on and on. But a lot of these people, when you walk with them, you quickly run into their physical, financial, deep needs for housing, for just, to be able to live and survive, whether it's single mothers with children or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that, which we've done, is, of course, our church has a benevolence fund. But how do you deal with those needs, especially as you get more of David's friends, as you described? That at some point it's like, but I need to eat, or I need, I don't have a car, I don't have a job.
You mean
I don't
for you personally or for the people?
Just
I mean in the house church
model,
how do you deal with those? Inevitable?
So when someone needs to go to rehab
and
not work, how do
they
do that? God has just, he just provides. So we've had numerous people that have come that they've had to leave because of a drug addiction or something like that, and we've, like I'm connected with a bunch of different, like I've done prison ministry as well, so I'm connected with a bunch of different people that have housing and things like that. And so sometimes they give you a discount, sometimes they give you like a scholarship, sometimes our house church network gives like a lump sum to bless a family. Sometimes once the one guy went away for it was almost a year, and his wife, who's here leading another, helping to lead another house church, she needed help. So we helped with groceries. We paid for it out of our pocket. We made food for her.
Well, and I think the beauty of it too, so for our house church, everyone, it's a church. It's a legitimate church. We have a checking account. People tie to our house church.
Yeah.
We don't have a building fund. We don't have, we don't get paid. So all that money that comes in, if somebody needs help, we can steward that money right to where it's needed.
I think also is one thing I've learned is we, I don't know about your area, but and I'm willing to guess that most areas in the United States have a lot of local resources available.
Right.
Like I know even in Lancaster, it's the town that we live in.
Has
three different, okay, so we have three different food banks right there in Lyft, so it's just a matter of connecting with that, and the beauty of that is that you're connecting
with
them.
Community.
I mean, it's just another community connection point, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And I mean, even we've seen is we do not have the extensive numbers, but this new young man that came who, the first week he came, he had just gotten out of the hospital because he just didn't want to live. But his friend who brought him, like, he didn't have a place to live. He had no job. He really had nothing. He literally had nothing. And so we're like, dude, we're going to pray right now for God's provision. And I think this is where the rubber meets the road. Do you really believe that God can provide or not?
Yeah.
Because I happen to believe yes. When his word says, I will meet your needs, if we're asking, the prayers of the righteous, he hears those.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man came back the next week, he goes, I have two jobs.
There you go.
Yeah.
We had nothing to do with that.
Right, yeah.
We prayed. We had nothing to do with that. And then his buddy was like, hey, you can stay in this house. Not the greatest, we're fixing up, but you can stay there. He's staying there, and he's so excited,
yeah.
And you could see from 1 week to the next,
mm-hmm.
just the demeanor. So I think it's, I've learned that I don't have to provide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not the provider.
Yeah.
But I am the one connected to the provider. We
yeah.
are connected to the provider. So we have to tap into him. And yeah, we got to do our part too. It's not just
yeah.
like fairy tale belief.
Yeah.
You know, we do our part and we
yeah.
connect with, we're connected. We have oversight. It's not like we're rogue.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's, like you said in Lebanon, there's a lot of good resources there too. And
yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
okay to tap into those because it gives
absolutely.
The church, the body, the church, the big C church, more connections in the community. And I think that's needed
yeah.
now more than ever.
Okay, it's a few minutes before 3, so I want to give any of you who want to go to a focused meeting the opportunity to go ahead and leave and go to that without...
Yeah, you can do prayer, I can come back, whatever you want to do.
Sure, yeah, if you have a
we'll be here.
You may do that now, and we're just going to kind of continue here for those of you that want to stay and ask more questions.
Can you guys have like a gathering of everybody once in a while?
Yeah, it's house to house micro church, and it's really long. House to house micro church network. LCBC network.
No.
C3PO. So in our house church network, we meet the third Monday night of every month. So the third Monday night of every month, all of us who are leaders of a house church or discipleship movement or something, we all meet in person and on Zoom, because like Joel and Amy are in Michigan, we have a couple in Arizona, a couple in South Dakota, like
a couple in Vienna.
Yeah.
So we do Zoom and live, and this is where we do prayer, we do short trainings, and then we do connection. How are we connecting as house church leaders? What are some things we're doing? Because just like when you're learning anything, like when you start a new job, you start researching that, how to do that, to become an accountant. So the same thing with making disciples, there's lots of methods out there, there's lots of books, we don't want to get trapped in that, but what's working?
Right.
So we talk about that. And we also have a second Saturday of every month, we do a Zoom prayer for anyone who wants to be a disciple maker. It's a half hour, everyone logs on, we pray about being disciple makers, we'll have a verse for 1.5 hours, and then we're done. And that is open to anybody who wants to be on that prayer. We can just add you to the email list. So we try to really hard as disciple makers, as a house church network, being connected and intentional with that so we can grow together.
Do you have anything like for refreshing of the leadership? Like who ministers to you people?
So
you're
we, here. We're here. You come to this place.
So, like, here's what I will tell you. We talk about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a building. We don't
right.
have a building fund. We don't have a lot of the other. I don't want to use the word headache in the wrong way.
Right.
We don't have a lot of that stuff.
Obligations.
We don't have a lot of those other obligations and responsibilities, and so we've never really felt like we needed a refreshment or a sabbatical.
I'm alone in this.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
because we're just living our life.
Right.
When we, sometimes we'll take the summer off. Well, hey, we're not having meetings over the summer, guys. Enjoy your family. Or over Thanksgiving. We're not having no meetings in November. Enjoy your family.
But in saying that, we have had some leaders of house churches that
yeah.
have felt that. And so we've said sabbatical. Same as a pastor of a mega church
yeah.
or a community church would have.
Yeah.
And so they'll take 1, 2, 3 months to take time off from ministry, from church, and the house church will meet in someone else's home. Someone else will facilitate and lead that while they get a break.
I mean, we had tragedy in our family, and that's what happened. Our other leaders in our house church said, "You guys don't even talk to us. We're just going to move the church over here." They brought meals to us. They took care of our yard, and they just let us rest. So when it's needed, it's there. But it's not like we're not all running around trying to do every ministry that's out there. So we're not exhausted.
I mean, is this like a full time? Are you funded by this, or are you working and doing?
Working.
Working. Full time jobs.
So working where?
Construction.
I have
company.
My own business. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Your own business and the
plumber.
Okay.
Right?
Plumber. Okay. Okay.
I work in the general
like
corporate.
Corporate world. Yeah.
Okay.
Corporate world.
Yeah. I think pretty much every leader is. Has some
yeah.
type of income outside of.
Well, I unknowingly, as a blessing. Well, I'm not a You know, I wasn't born in America, I'm from Venezuela. And a group of missionaries went there to open a work. And I was blessed to be in the very beginning of it. So there were the leadership, two couples, another person, and me. So I basically was raised by a home church, although it wasn't a home church. But the amazing thing is that their vision was to raise locals so that they would build church and then leave.
Yeah.
And I found myself loving to take care of people, naturally. So I would always just be whatever. And then three, and it was horrible because this Americans is like, don't do this here, brother. But you know, we were like too afraid to say anything. It's like, you don't do that here. That doesn't go well. Like closing the doors if you're late.
Yeah.
In Latin America.
I mean, it does. Cynthia Anderson's book, Multiplier's Mindset, she talks about that because America definitely has bought into the bigger is better vision.
Yeah.
And the bigger is better, and the bigger paycheck you get, and that's even better. That's not so. You know, and so it's relearning what would it look like, and we find ourselves in that conversation as well. What does it look like in the United States to have house churches?
Yes.
And to, like, because we, a lot of times we have to define church. We're like, well, church has to be this place that I go to, but like just as, no, I'm the church, anywhere I'm at is church.
Yeah, and the culture also helps because we are warm culture, definitely.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to get into a group and open up. That's not a problem in Latin America.
Yeah.
But boy, in America, I'm like a lost baby going around like, where is the discipleship in this nation? And I've been around.
Yeah.
I've been around
in
the United States. And, you know, and there's none. And I'm like, I'm going to die if I don't disciple somebody.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, that's what we said at lunch. So it's kind of like the whole Nike thing. Then just do it.
Yeah. I heard
that. Right? Because we always wait. We always are waiting for a sign and just like, I don't know, you didn't get that first big one I did?
Yeah. For sure. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I do have one. I'm on staff at my church and have been for many years, and one of my weaknesses has been I'm always the person that if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, call me. And it's, I want everybody to have the same amount of access to me. And my pastor has been trying to help me set up boundaries and making sure that like there's like levels of that. So going into a home church situation, how do you set up, because everything is more intimate, everything is more face-to-face, how do you set up those boundaries where for someone who has a natural tendency to just, come on, you can have all of me, and how do you make sure that that's
so you definitely have to learn, because when we first started, Shane's here, he's been with our house church since before it was a house church. And so when we first started, we were so excited that we would meet Wednesday nights and then Friday nights and Saturdays and Sundays all day. He would come Sunday for breakfast and then it'd be 10 o'clock at night and they were still there. And our daughters would have been junior high and high school at that, and it almost destroyed our family.
They needed their home.
Yeah. So we worked with people like Shane, and we had another girl in the church at that time, and they're like, hey, this is Brian and Kim's house. It's only church on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So the point of that is surround yourself with a
people
few people.
With people who say, hey, that's not your job.
Okay,
is that
husband,
your husband?
Yes.
Is he good at boundaries?
Yeah.
Very good.
No. But I was taking some of Danny Self's things. Like,
they
we told you, you have to be everybody's savior. Like, so a lot of it, you're very young, you learn that. Like, you learn no is a really good spiritual word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good
I think in the house church setting, quote unquote, like when you're discipling, it's such a different relationship than, because I worked in churches also, so I get this. Like it's just a very different relationship, which is, it's like having friendships.
Yeah.
It's It's not how I'm working here, so you, like, I'm trying to
register
to
you. You don't have the volume of people coming at
you
from so many directions.
And it actually naturally, yes, exactly. So it naturally becomes intimate, so they will be like, oh, you know what? Don't call her at 11 o'clock at night
because
she's
talking to
the phone.
And like, what depending on what the situation is, like, say someone's like, "Oh, I have car issues. Can you do it?" I'm like, you know what? No, but Shane knows how to fix cars.
Right.
And you know what's community? What's big about this is it's not just you're protecting your boundaries. What we have found is people don't know what boundaries look like. So it's
right.
not just about
that's
we need
so
our space.
True.
We've had families, they didn't know boundaries, so they're watching us. We're saying, this is how you protect your marriage. This is how
yes.
you protect your kids.
Good.
So it's discipleship.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we're being boundary, we're being, because it's someone like you who's very open, you feel like, oh, that's putting up walls and that's, no, you're. It's actually part of your discipleship because you're showing them, what does it look like? What does it look like to love people and yet not like have them just coming in here. So.
And there's also a really good book called Toxic Charity and When Helping Hurts. Because, so we, Brian and I also have City Gate, which Lisa was talking about, that is a prayer room, but we also minister to the homeless and all that. And I thought I had to feed every homeless and stay there 24/7 and make sure everybody, and he was like, when did you become so mercy motivated? Because, yeah. right? So I had to go, hey, it's actually hurting people if I become their savior.
Yeah.
It hurts them. Because then God can't do what he needs to do in them.
Right.
So sometimes it's again, boundaries and learning, hey, how are you going to fix that? I ain't fixed it for you. How are you going to fix that? So it's really learning. But like what Amy was saying, you find it's easy to do that in a house church environment because you're all working together and there's like 7 or 10 people working on this together with you and protecting you. That's a good question.
Yes.
Anything like coaching for cell group leaders? I'm just starting Café Churches in Belgium.
Nice.
But there's one lady, she's on fire, and she wanted to start. She started the house group, cell, whatever. But they are not that long a Christian. I don't go to that cell group. I said, you sort it out yourself as the Holy Spirit. And
yeah.
let's talk about together, sit together once a month or
yeah.
every 6 weeks. Because some of the charismatic things happening there, you have some questions with it. But how do you organize? How do we deal with this? How does it work in the network, in the house church network?
So how does that work? We bug them when we have questions. So is that what you're asking? Is when there's questions, what do? So on our Monday nights, we talk about that. If it's in our own house church, we talk about that. Everything becomes a teaching moment. Like once you understand you're a disciple maker, everything becomes a teaching moment. I have a very dear friend right now who's dying of cancer. She had me come pray over her, and I'm praying over her, and I'm praying in tongues over her, because I don't know what to pray, because it doesn't look good. I'm praying in tongues, and her sister goes, I don't understand you. What are you saying? I don't understand. What? I said, you're not meant to understand me right now. So then I taught her very briefly, was in front of a bunch of a whole youth with mission kids. I just very briefly taught her, this is my private prayer language, because if I pray in my flesh, I'm going to pray something probably not accurate. So I'm relaxed. So everything becomes a teaching moment. And as it becomes a teaching moment, it then becomes discipleship. Now, who are you going to share that with? Did you just learn something? So now you're responsible to share that truth with someone. So everything, because we talk about everything, everything becomes teachable. And then as far as like with the Holy Spirit and all that, like not everybody's there. Like with Jeff, not everybody's there when they're just, you know, off the streets and now just coming to a house church and they're not even necessarily saved yet. So we have to kind of remember not everybody's saved. And so, again, sometimes we make things too churchy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to really sometimes know your audience, dial it back, think, okay, how can I explain this in a way that the average person is going to understand what's happening in this moment? And then leave room for questions, right? Leave room for dialogue about it. But we're never afraid to talk about it, share about it.
It's good to be a part of a network because
yeah.
you can bounce those questions off of people. And chances
yep.
are, because there's somebody's so many different house churches, somebody's dealt with it.
Or, it's not something like accountability towards somebody.
So
yeah.
Within the network,
yeah.
All the leaders were all obviously connected in relationship together. Mm-hmm. And in the leadership, there's a leadership team, which gives leadership to
so then,
the network.
Yeah.
We're meeting regularly with the leaders.
It's like Ronnie,
we give
them oversight. Things,
to answer questions.
Yeah.
And if we, there are many times we can't answer it. And so we get oversight from Ron Meyer with
okay.
USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
there's the whole Dove family that we work with exactly
yeah.
in relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes because we're dealing with house church and discipleship, like I'll text Cynthia Anderson if there's a book back there. I only have a couple copies left, but I'll text her like, how do you do this?
Right.
I, like because you're doing house church, you're pushing into stuff, you know, in Nepal stuff. How, so I'll go to somebody who's actually in the ministry,
mm-hmm.
right? Did you have a question? Because I thought you were going to say something.
Yes, actually. So I have a group that I have kind of started. It's still kind of in its infancy stages. And this is the vision and the thing that I want with this group of, it's a men's group. But it's, this is exactly like discipleship, making disciplers, like not
yeah.
just creating disciples, but to make disciples who make disciples
mm-hmm.
and keep the process
yes.
going, multiplication. So,
absolutely.
But I've only ever really lived in a small group format. And so I, in starting this group, I kind of already created it as a small group format, but I've shared that vision already with the group and they kind of all verbally agree. So I'm just kind of like at a point where I'm kind of wondering, how do I get
yeah.
a buy-in to actually like, I know that like I was talking to Joel and I was like, I have to lead by example. If I want them to follow me
yeah.
in making disciples,
absolutely.
I need to be making disciples
yeah.
and bringing them in. I'm just kind of like, is it feasible, is it workable to take a group that's already kind of been created as this small group format, just completely shift the direction to more of this is what we really want?
Yeah. Yes, yes, and it's hard. And like our house church started as a church, probably, right, Shane, you say. And so it's transitioned over time. I think one of the things, like Dirk, maybe he did his class today or maybe it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
One of the things that we use a lot is a discovery Bible method,
yes.
even in our house church, because
so good.
The last question is, who are you going to share this with?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm holding you accountable because next week I'm going to ask you, who do you share this with? So most of the discipleship-making movements, no matter if it's Neil Cole or there's one in California, there's one in New York City, there has to be an accountability of who are you sharing with this outward. Because otherwise, you're just navel-gazing. And like Laverne says, it's us four and no more. That's not even scriptural.
So question, what you're wanting to shift to, is that a house microchurch that you're looking at,
discipleship to get
yeah.
them to disciple.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I want discipleship. I want like,
gotcha.
I'm not
yeah.
trying to bring in people that are already churched.
Right,
that's
right.
not my goal. I don't
yeah.
want people that already have a relationship with Jesus. I want us to be making disciples of people
so
that
I think
don't know
there
Jesus.
Always has to be that challenge there, right? Okay, guys, we just had this really cool thing. You need to share this with somebody.
Yeah. So it sounds like you say you have buy-in where they're all on board with that. They all want to do that.
Yeah.
Sounds like the shift has already happened.
Yeah.
In here, and starting in here, finishing that is this what Kim just said, walking it out week to week with these guys to make sure that they're staying on track with discipling outward other people. Then it's hard because you can't walk up to somebody and say, I want to disciple you.
Yeah.
So challenge them, who are you discipling? We have to be careful that to teach them who is God bringing around you that you're able to speak into their life without demanding you're going to disciple them.
Yeah.
It starts as this natural relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking into their life, and it just becomes this very thing. At some point, you can say to the person, do you recognize this as a discipling relationship?
So one of the tools that we use, and we share this with the House Church Network, is it T for T, Joel, I forget, or the four squares or whatever? Yeah, No Place Left is really good. They have good stuff to share. So they use like this four square, the four fields. So the first field is go. It's just, I'm just scattering seed. I'm not going out to give somebody the seven laws. A lot of times we start off, I'm going to disciple somebody and they're going to know Jesus today. Well, sometimes it really is just, hey, how are you? What's your name? I'm just planting some seed. And then the next square is, now I'm going to be sharing the gospel. Hey, I just learned a truth. I'm like, can I share it with you? And you want to learn this together? From that, then it goes into a possible discipleship relationship. from that, it can go into a possible house church plan. So what we try to do a lot of time in our Western mindset is disciple church. Mm-hmm. We've missed this, like we talk about generations, we've missed a whole cycle. And so it's something that's taught, right? I mean, we're just planting seed. I think you said that, somebody. It was just planting seed. And so for these guys, it's not they have to go out and share the Bible and teach a 45 minute, seven points in a poem. It's just ask somebody, what's your name?
It's Hunter, right?
Yes.
Hunter. Are the people you bought that are buying into this, are they're already Christians and have walked a little bit? And
yeah, they're all, I'd say they're all on fairly different levels of their walk with God.
Okay, yeah.
There's like one or two that are kind of like on the fringes.
Sure. How long did it take you to get that vision? How long have you been a believer?
I've been a believer for about, what year is this?
So I want to encourage you this way, because I feel your pain in this. Oftentimes when we're birthing something fresh that is somewhat, you're excited about it because you know it is exactly where God wants you, doing exactly what God wants you to do, and yet it seems so freakishly weird from anything maybe you've known before. And then you wonder why? You say you're buying into this group you have, and yet you're not doing what I want you to do. Like, do me, like, go. So we were like that too, and we still are, but what I've learned is two things. Is one, God does not operate on my timeline, so
right.
Allow him to work in the team you already have, because they've already bought in, they're already excited about it, but the way God is moving and working in them will be different than how he worked and moved in you. The other thing is to continually keep that vision in front
yes.
of us.
Yeah.
The girls that we meet with on Monday nights, I don't think there was, maybe not every week, because then I'd be, I'd be like, can you just stop saying it? But at least once a month, we're like, listen, you're here as long as you need to be here, but then you're not, because you need to go and do what we've done. Because God doesn't ask you to just keep coming here and stay. We will always be together. We will always be connected, but God is calling you. I know he is. I just want to encourage you, keep the vision in front of them and allow them to have the time they need,
right.
And you just encourage them like you've been encouraged.
One thing in the House Church Network, what we talk about, like, is what we're doing reproducible? So then I ask the guys, hey guys, is what we're doing here, get together, is this reproducible? Could you do this? So we do for our House Church, we ask that question, and what was tripping a lot of people up at our House Church is, we don't have the space. I can't do the meal like that. This is too hard. And I said, well, let's take the meal out. We took the meal out of our house church. We don't do it. We just do coffee and donuts now. And three people have come to me in our house church. I could do this. You took that meal out. That made it so much easier for me. I can do this in my house.
Just to echo what Lisa said, it takes time.
Yeah, it does.
You start a relationship with these gentlemen, and they're not going to begin discipling somebody next month. Jesus took 3 years to walk with his disciples. And he started to challenge them and release them in things right away. But
and
there's a lot of correction. There's a lot of correction along the way. And so it takes time. And especially if you want to walk with them and show them healthy discipleship. Because that's what you want them to reproduce.
Yeah.
Healthy discipleship, not controlling other people and telling other people how they should live.
I think there's also this part of us that wants to know if what seeds we've planted, has it grown?
Yeah.
Did anything happen from that?
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't see it happening and it's happening. Like some of these gentlemen, like the guy that I told you that has like the Satan tattoos, like a few weeks ago, he just said, oh my gosh, I was sitting at the table and I was telling my aunt about, and he's like talking about like Jesus with his family, but like he didn't tell me that. I'm like, do it. They don't give me God moments. And like, he never said that. But like it came up later. So like there may be some of these gentlemen, they may be sharing some of the things that you've either taught or they're learning somewhere else, and you might not even know about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you could ask very detailed questions, but I would trust that if like it's in them, there's probably a handful that are probably sprinkling some seed out that they're learning, because it just blows out naturally.
Okay. So I think, I know there are a few that want prayer. We're gonna transition into that right now. Joel and Amy are gonna lead us in that. If you have more questions, there will be a few of us around that may not be praying for someone. or ministering to someone, so we'll be glad to answer any more questions concerning House Church. Jenny and Moselle, right there, raise your hand, say hi. I snuck in a little bit ago. They both are House Church leaders, and so they're here for questions. Chris and Dawn right here in front of us, same way. So you can ask any of us. I'll try to answer.
Yeah, one of the things that you hear is there was a process of both unlearning and learning how this looks. And you may be wondering, well, what's my next step? Like, what do I do? There's some more questions that I left with that I got answered, you know? Yes, I want this, but I would say that every one of us, there was breakthrough in seeking the Lord and asking him, what do you want? We don't know what to do, but eyes on you. And so give us clarity. And that's one of the reasons with Brian's desire for us to pray with you. So even as, you know, you can, if whether you have, again, a group or don't, or just a desire or don't even know, like, I just want prayer. We would love to join with you. So what I'd encourage is actually, if you're like somebody that would say, I'd like to either ask more questions before I get prayer, or I want, you know, just someone to join with me and asking God for clarity or for breakthrough, raise your hand, and then any of the House Church leaders that, you know, identify, I'd encourage because of the European connection. But if there's, and then we want to stand with you. And if, but ask you, all right, what is it that we need to understand to be able to join with you in praying? And then also there is, like Kim was saying, there is a time that we continue to pray, seek the Lord monthly for, all right, God, what are you doing? And help our hearts to be aligned with yours. And what are we missing that you're seeing that we need to see? And being able to join with others that are, yeah, desiring the same thing. So if you, yeah, you're invited to that, you can get your email to Kim, and she'll make sure that you get that. But if you are like, I'd like to ask some more specific questions, because I know some questions are being asked, and it's like, that's not my question, or, you know, I've got a different scenario. And so being able to say, all right, I want to be able to ask some people questions, and then for them to pray with me, raise your hand, and we will join with you. So, all right, cool. So some people get around, the couple there. Was there anybody else that was looking for more specific things?